Howdy, regulars. This is Regular Dispatch 29. It is June 9th, 2020. Today I'm going to read a bit of a city plan for Austin, Texas from 1928. It's quite a document, and I will make an editorial change, swapping some language for current terms, referring to a particular group of people, which will become readily clear momentarily. The first striking feature of this plan is the map on its cover, and the city is tiny. The city limits are incredibly close to basically downtown and Hyde Park, maybe. That's it. It doesn't look like it goes really west, even to Mopac. It looks like there's a rail line out there, and that must be Mopac. You see the river winding. The city limits trail along the Colorado Town Lake to Lake Austin and what the dam and such. But it's just a little cutout all along the water, presumably to give the city oversight of the dam there. And there's precious little development of any kind south of the river. There's a little bit, but not very much. And even East Austin is incredibly close. This is a tiny, tiny city in 1928. The plan is from Koch and Fowler Consulting Engineers, 1928. And it begins, it says, a city plan for Austin, Texas, Koch and Fowler Consulting Engineers, 1928. This is a reprint, by the way, from 1957. Here's a note of the reprinting. The Koch and Fowler Report, preface to second printing. The consulting firm of Koch and Fowler in 1927 prepared a city plan for Austin, Texas. Community progress in the ensuing 30 years testifies to the plan's influence on policy decisions in both public and private enterprise. Although the pattern of growth since 1927 has generally followed the Koch and Fowler proposals, the plan was not kept current with our rapidly changing city life. Several attempts during the 1940s to update the plan further accented the need for a program of continuous revision. A new city charter adopted in 1953 established the Department of Planning and spelled out the duties of the City Planning Commission, including the drafting and maintaining of a new city plan. Technical work on the new plan began in February 1955 and was completed in October 1956. Since copies of the Koch and Fowler plan have not been available in recent years, this report is being reprinted to make possible its comparison with the current Austin development plan in terms of actual city development during the intervening period. Original text of this report has not been altered, but all illustrations have been grouped at the end. This arrangement has been necessary because the mimeographed report omitted several illustrations, and the photostat negatives no longer can be copied. The complete set of drawings has been reproduced from prints in the files of the Department of Planning and of the city clerk. And this is dated February 1957. Here is the opening letter of the plan. Koch and Fowler Consulting Engineers, January 14th, 1928. It's addressed to Mr. William T. Caswell, Chairman, City Plan Commission, Austin, Texas. Dear Sir, we take pleasure in handing you herewith our formal report covering our recommendations for the city plan of the city of Austin, which was prepared upon request of your honorable City Planning Commission. In presenting this report, we wish to say that we have received a most hearty support and cooperation by the various citizens and the city officials of Austin. We wish particularly to recognize and acknowledge the vital time and services of Mr. William T. Caswell, Mr. Hugo Keen, and Mr. Gillespie Stady, all of whom have given liberally of their time and assistance in our work. We also wish to acknowledge the wholehearted support and assistance furnished by the city manager, Mr. Adam R. Johnson, and the city engineer, Mr. Orrin E. Metcalf, as well as many other city officials. It has been a genuine pleasure to work with men of this kind, and we feel that we would not be grateful if we did not express our appreciation for their valuable assistance. We trust and hope that this report will be of inestimable value and of material assistance to the City Planning Commission of Austin in their efforts to build Austin in the proper manner. Respectfully submitted, Koch and Fowler Engineers, by O.H. Koch. And here, just to give you an indication too, the table of contents, just so you see the sections, the flow. There's an introduction. Street plan is like 16 pages. They really go into detail for some of the streets because, again, there just weren't that many of them. Parks and boulevards, recommended land subdivision rules, aviation field, civic centers, transportation, parentheses, steam railways, street railways, zoning, schools, regional plan, cemeteries, fire stations, conclusion. And the conclusion begins on page 65. So that's the entirety of that. That's the flow. And here's the introduction. In authorizing the preparation of a comprehensive city plan, Austin has recognized the fact that the building of a modern, efficient city is more than a mere accident, and that the best advantages are available only when a good city plan has been adopted and a program provided which will suggest certain readjustments and the coordination of the future improvements. There are very few cities which are not now engaged in attempting to correct certain acute evils resulting from neglect or lack of coordinate efforts. But in making such corrections without the aid of a comprehensive city plan, the corrections too often are but of a temporary nature, and each succeeding correction becomes more costly and difficult to accomplish. During the past 2 years, Austin has taken a step forward in the reorganization of its governmental administrative machinery. That the adoption of the city manager form of government has been of inestimable value in the economic administration of its municipal affairs is very evident to the student who has studied the various improvements and accomplishments which have been wrought during the past few months. The present city commission and city officials have demonstrated their ability to carry on the municipal business of Austin in an efficient and businesslike manner. It is therefore only natural that they should recognize the importance of a complete city plan to enable them to continue their work efficiently, and they should promptly take steps to obtain such a plan. We have made a careful first-hand study of the various elements and characteristics of the city of Austin and the surrounding territory, and we are presenting herewith our report containing various plans and recommendations. We would like to call attention, however, that due to the impossibility of predicting accurately the future developments and conditions for any considerable time in the future, it is impractical to adopt a complete, fixed, and rigid plan in all details. Such plans as are adopted must be capable of being adapted to changing conditions from time to time. While the practicability of these plans in general has been carefully examined and tested, they are obviously not offered as final or construction plans that can be executed without further study and detailed revisions. These plans are intended to establish a policy in the character of growth and control in the improvements and expansion for the City of Austin and to serve as the basis for future work of the City Plan Commission. The City of Austin is a very unique city. It has many unusual and extraordinary characteristics and advantages unto itself. These desirable characteristics should be preserved, featured, and capitalized to the fullest extent. Austin is the capital of the great state of Texas. It is the site of the most wonderful state capitol building in the United States. This feature should be the outstanding characteristic of the city, and the capitol building should be conspicuous and visible from all parts of the surrounding territory. It should predominate, and other structures should be subordinated to it. Already, due to the absence of any plan for expansion in an orderly fashion, the state has constructed an office building at the southeast corner of the Capitol grounds, and other skyscrapers are threatening to be built on Congress Avenue, thereby shutting off the view of the Capitol building from the south. While Austin has some industrial development, the Civic Survey shows that industrial development will not be the controlling element that will build future Austin and determine its future character. On account of the location of the numerous state institutions, schools, and the state university in Austin, with the natural beauty of its topography and the unusual climate making it an ideal residential city, it is only natural that the chief characteristic of a greater Austin will continue, as at present, essentially a cultural and educational center. The location in and about Austin of the numerous state institutions as well as the University of Texas creates a condition which is peculiar to Austin alone. This condition can either be an advantage or a serious disadvantage in the development of Austin, depending upon whether or not proper cooperation is secured between the state and institution officials in the city of Austin. It is strongly urged and recommended that state officials be invited and encouraged to confer with the City Plan Commission in regard to the general city plan, at least insofar as it may affect the state properties. An intelligent coordination of the plans to develop this state property with the general city plan will be of considerable advantage to all parties concerned. Your city plan engineers have conferred several times with the university officials and find them to be more than ready and willing to cooperate to the fullest extent. We feel that the same spirit of cooperation will be forthcoming from the other state officials. And then they begin the street plan, which goes on for pages and pages. Within the street plan section, I believe, we get to this part. On page, the end of page 27. We have already mentioned the Waller Creek driveway, which will provide a convenient avenue for traffic from the northeast portion of Austin to the business district and on south to the Colorado River Drive. The completion of this drive will entail the acquisition of certain cheap property along the banks of Waller Creek from 8th to 19th Street. Most of the property which will be needed is at present occupied by very unsightly and unsanitary shacks inhabited by black people. With these buildings removed to provide for the trafficway, most of the remaining property will be of a substantial and more desirable type. The construction of this driveway and reclamation of the banks of this creek will make the remaining property very desirable and will increase its value many times the cost of the acquisition of the necessary property to complete this project. It's impossible to read that and not see it. By the way, this is an editorial comment. It's impossible to read that and not identify that as just out and out confiscation and theft and robbing someone of value. And that someone simply being based on the color of their skin, obviously. They're talking, I believe this is in the parks section. This is the end of page 31. Similarly, we are recommending the ultimate establishment of a neighborhood park in the vicinity of 11th and 12th Streets, just east of the I&G Inn Railroad. This property, while it adjoins the city limits, is well located to serve as a neighborhood park for this area in the future. The topography is very rough and is at present occupied by the cheapest type of shacks, whereas the property immediately adjoining is more valuable and can eventually be residential property of the highest order. The acquisition of this property for park purposes and the removal of this present type of development will increase the value of the surrounding property many times the cost of the acquisition thereof. And I should say, too, there's absolutely a descriptor of these shacks as being occupied by black people. The next paragraph continues. Another neighborhood park, which we consider very essential, is an area in which there are now no facilities for a neighborhood park and which is not accessible to any of the proposed neighborhood parks in the neighborhood of 11th and Chacon Streets. This park is recommended to be developed as a black neighborhood park. The location is very favorable for the proposed black district, and the value of the land at present time is very low. And this is a this is a short document, and there's not a lot of there's not too much to go on here. I don't want to, but I think it's easy to extrapolate. There's just a lot of let's buy on the cheap, change the use, and turn and make this valuable for ourselves. That's going on here. The section that I think many of us who live in Austin have heard about over the years, with respect to later, this time East Avenue and East Avenue, the path of East Avenue became where I-35 was laid. And so here on page, let me get a page number, 57. Here we go. And again, this is 1928. If you're listening, many of your grandparents are alive in the world. Maybe not your parents, but your grandparents are alive. This is not in the hazy long ago. This is a couple of clicks, and here we are. Back to the city plan. There has been considerable talk in Austin, as well as other cities, in regard to the race segregation problem. This problem cannot be solved legally under any zoning law known to us at present. Practically all attempts of such have been proven unconstitutional. In our studies in Austin, we have found that the blacks are present in small numbers in practically all sections of the city, excepting the area just east of East Avenue and south of the city cemetery. This area seems to be all black population. It is our recommendation that the nearest approach to the solution of the race segregation problem will be the recommendation of this district as a black district, and that all the facilities and conveniences be provided the blacks in this district as an incentive to draw the black population to this area. This will eliminate the necessity of duplication of white and black schools, white and black parks, and other duplicate facilities for this area. We are recommending that sufficient area be acquired adjoining the black high school to provide adequate space for a complete black playfield in connection with the black high school. We further recommend that the black schools in this area be provided with ample and adequate playground space and facilities similar to the white schools of the city. A careful study of the city plan for the outlying districts, such as shown on plate number 15, will enable the school board to anticipate its needs and make desirable locations for future school sites, and should enable them to acquire these sites together with ample and adequate areas for the playgrounds and school grounds for the future at a reasonable cost. So there we have it. That's enough for the reading of the plan. Those are the, for our purposes, the key sections. And, you know, it's stating the obvious that it's a, it's just proposed by these right and honorable men in this gentlemanly phrased document, that all of their efforts in many cities to segregate the population based upon race were declared unconstitutional, as they were. And yet here we have these right honorable men finding a loophole, a workaround. We'll let you live anywhere. We just won't provide services like water, like electricity, to your home as a, quote, incentive to draw the black population to this area. That's a quote. This is in the document. And to casually refer several times to, we can just knock down these buildings, acquire this land on the cheap, and increase its value, is, there it is. There's no escaping this. This isn't the long ago. And it reveals an intent that was far and wide and official. It reminds me, actually, of this great little bit from, of all people, Scalia, Justice Scalia. I will put it in the show notes, which will be at regular.fm/29. He is sitting with, I forget which other Supreme Court justice. They have the first one has delivered his opening remarks, and it's Scalia's turn. They're addressing Congress. I think the Senate, but I frankly don't remember. He is talking about they're there just to talk to the Senate about the Supreme Court and the Justice Department and things, I suppose. And these are opening remarks before a Q&A. And he is sharing that when he travels around, he is often surprised when addressing high school students, law school students, undergrads. He will ask for a show of hands how many have read the Federalist Papers, and almost no hands go up. And if the few hands that do go up, he says, and not just the famous two or three, have you read the Federalist Papers? And almost every hand goes down. And it strikes him that it's just such an important part of history. I will say I have not read the Federalist Papers. Maybe in college I read two or three of them. That was a long time ago. I have not read the Federalist Papers. I should read the Federalist Papers. I started to read them not too long ago, didn't get very far. And so he goes on to point out that many other countries on paper have more rights for the citizens outlined in their constitutions. He cites Russia as having a fantastic constitution on paper. Then he says, I believe it's in the, he's talking about the founding fathers. Somebody referred to this stuff, constitutions on paper, as parchment guarantees. The phrase, it's not worth the paper it's printed on. Who cares what freedom of the press is outlined in the Russian constitution when in practice it doesn't exist. It clearly does not exist. And so he makes the point that the real constitution is the constitution of the people. Everybody out there, each of us, where is our heart and mind? How do we behave? How do we treat each other? That there is no single document, important as they are in law and as symbols, but there is no document that can become more important than us. And our accountability there to it. Of course, I'm reminded of that because here we have an official city document saying that all these other strategies have been knocked down as unconstitutional. And therefore, let's try this trick. Let's try this trick to deprive individuals in our city of their constitutional rights and take their wealth. That obviously also collides with recent readings from Hernando de Soto in The Mystery of Capital. These, and I would say again, as when I first read his introduction, he, I think being somewhat kind to maybe his own profession and people in general, is saying that, and I think Hernando de Soto is justifiably proud of his intellectual and academic achievement here of realizing the importance of capital and how it is difficult to see. And therefore, he's his entire book and that whole period of his work is all about trying to help us all see it. However, I know I'm not necessarily an expert of Hernando de Soto. He may have, I'm not a scholar of his work. So he may have a whole bunch of stuff studying how many times actually people do see how capital formation works, and they do use it to subject others. This happens geopolitically among countries without question, and here it is happening inside our town in Austin. And so It's interesting in that it shines a light on each of us, and you start to recognize the important role we all have to play at all layers of the game here. There are a lot of people in the city planning department. This was happening consciously. This was being done on purpose. And here we are today. Tomorrow, I think I might, soon, I think I'll pick up some Wendell Berry. Wendell Berry's got a lot to say about accountability and such. I also do want to get back into some entrepreneurship stuff and some, let's say, the more fun pieces of Austin history, music history, and things like that. But I do think it's important to put on the table this kind of stuff. While we're just still slowly beginning this thing here and talking about these kinds of issues, because here, right here in our own town, you have this kind of, frankly disgusting, effort in play, and it proved quite successful, of course. This was the way it was done, for quite a while. And this references a city plan, the update. This is a, they're reprinting this 1928 plan because they're working on it in the mid 50s. And I'm going to see if I can't dig up that plan too. I bet it'll be a lot longer. I bet the city will be, have already be a lot bigger. It'll probably, though, of course, still be dominated by the university and government, as this one in the 20s, it must've just been essentially only a city and government. I'm sorry, a university and government, town. And, these days it's quite a bit different, here in Austin. The city limits have expanded dramatically and people are moving here, without ceasing. There's still 12, 15 cranes up in downtown today, at least. And a whole bunch of projects permitted and coming, but no cranes yet. The dozens. It's a different city. It's the same city. We're here. And I'm glad you're here, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.